Hello. In this reflection, I'm going to talk about self-consciousness and empathy. How we become aware of ourselves as people, as separate individuals. So we will start with our own experience of ourselves, which is headless, I say, looking out of a single eye. And you were born in this condition, but pre-verbal. So as yet you had no idea of what you looked like, that you were a separate person. And one way of thinking about how we become aware of ourselves as individuals is that we learn to imagine what we look like to others. We learn to go out from ourselves by about 6 feet to where others are and see ourselves through their eyes. And Douglas Harding in The Hierarchy calls this shifting center. So you start at your own center, which is headless, space for the world. And from this point of view, in fact, there is only one consciousness. But growing up is accepting that there are other consciousnesses. So someone out there looking at me, I accept they can see me. And what I'm doing there is that I am imagining placing myself over there and understanding, first of all, that they're conscious, like me, they are experiencing something, and then I learn what they are experiencing through language and gestures and so on. And I learn that when they direct their attention towards me, they see me as a person. And I find out what that person is through language and by them pointing to the mirror and showing me my image there. This is shifting center. This is putting myself in their shoes and understanding, imagining, empathizing with what they are telling me they are experiencing. And when they look towards me, they see me, quote unquote. In my case, Richard, they see a person. And they tell me that this person that they see is over here where I find nothing. And in other words, if they were to point at Richard, they wouldn't point out there at where they register Richard from my point of view. They would point over here at my center where I find nothing, and they tell me that Richard is here. So part of empathizing, placing myself in their shoes and understanding what they are seeing, is understanding not only that they're seeing Richard, but they're seeing him here. And I accept, from their point of view, that Richard is over here. The only way I can become aware of Richard, of who I am as a person, is through the eyes of others, or through the mirror, and then accepting, this is the identification bit, accepting what they say, that Richard is over here. And I am, as an adult, normally out there, as it were, in everybody around me, conscious of what I am for them. Not just out there, but over here. I take on board here the idea, the sense, the feeling that I am somebody. And I learned this so well that I don't have to think about it. I operate as if I am here what others say I am here. And this is normal development. As you're growing up, you need to know this, you need to understand this. And this is empathy, because your ability to see yourself as a person is your ability to place yourself in the shoes of others and understand what they are seeing and accept what they're seeing deeply. Now, you do the same to everyone else. When you look at someone, you register who they are at 6 feet or whatever it is. But then you project that back on their empty center there. You say, well, Sally or John, that's what you are there. My experience of you is that that's what you are there. So everybody is doing this to everyone else. And this is normal self-consciousness and other consciousness. You can't be aware of yourself as an individual without placing yourself in the shoes of others and accepting what they say you are. Now, of course, if you've got 20 people in a circle around you, every one of them will see you from a different angle. And what you do is you, as it were, add all these pictures of you together into one composite image or identity. Front, back, top, bottom, side. And someone may move closer to you and just see your head, or move away and just see a dot in the distance, and you add all that in to your composite self-portrait. And let's say someone in the circle sees you in a completely unusual way. Everyone else sees you with two eyes or something, I put it very simply, and this person genuinely says they see you with four eyes. Well, you are nothing at center. That is their view of you. It is valid if they're being sincere. I mean, perhaps something has happened to their brain and they've been injured and they genuinely see you with four eyes. So a way of understanding this is that all the views of you are valid from there, but some are more valid than others. So everyone else sees you with two eyes, so you accept that. But you, as it were, understand that last person as an unusual view of you, which doesn't carry much weight. But you can't, in a sense, you can't say it's wrong. If they really do see you with four eyes, you say, well, from that person's point of view, I do have that, but it doesn't carry much weight. Because there's nothing at your center to compare it with. You can't say, well, I can see at center, I've got two eyes, so you're wrong, and everyone else is right. At center, you have, there's no information at all about yourself from your point of view. You're nothing, full of everything. And you're completely dependent on others to know yourself as a person. Now, once you accept this, then what you are, you find in others. And if they move right away and look at you from the moon, they say, well, from here, you appear as a planet. And it's not just that they are registering you as a planet out there. They're saying that's what you are over there at your center. Well, you've nothing here to counter that argument. You say, well, all right, if I accept your view from there, I am a planet. At that level, from there. and further away from a nearby star. They are registering you, who are nothing at centre, as a star, and projecting that back on your centre. You've nothing at centre to say, well, no, I'm not a star, I'm a person here. You are nothing. But you appear as a star there. And from there, you are seen as a star here. So this is self-consciousness at different levels. At one level, according to the people around me at 6 feet, I'm a person, but according to all those stars at all those light years away, I'm a star. In that company, I'm a star. In human company, I'm a human. And of course, you do the same to them. You register that observer there as a star, and you project that back on their center and in effect say, you are a star there. So this is normal self-consciousness. Once you accept that you are nothing at center, what you are, you find out through others. And what that is, what they find you to be, depends on their range. And if they come right up close to you, they find that you are cells. That is self-consciousness at a very close range. Now you find out who you are through others, empathy. You shift center. You take up the other's point of view, which is not only that you're a person, but that you're a person over here at your center. So growing up is learning to see yourself through others and taking that on board here at center. That is normal, the normal process of growing up, of becoming self-conscious, of being able to understand who people are talking to when they're talking to you. They're talking to a person here. In human society, they're talking to somebody here. Now, what gets lost temporarily, hopefully, is the experience of what you are from your point of view, which is this nothingness, this non-identity full of everything. We become so good at empathizing, at placing ourselves out there in others and seeing ourselves from there and taking that on board at center, so involved with that, so good at it, that we overlook what we are for ourselves. And waking up to who you really are is waking up to your own point of view, which is headless, which is nobody at center. The one that everyone is projecting upon from every angle, you as a person. From your point of view, none of them stick. You're free of that at center. Gloriously free, I would say. And this does not mean that you throw out the baby with the bathwater. I don't now, because I can see there's no one at the center of these circles, as it were. I don't then deny that others experience somebody here. I've learned that. I can't forget that, I find. It's just automatic. But I can at the same time be aware that for myself there's nobody here. I'm empty, I'm gone, I'm free of all that identity. Now, growing up, you have got very good at shifting center, placing yourself over there at the other person's center and seeing yourself from there and seeing the world from there, and understanding their experience of the world, including you. Now, when you wake up to the fact that at center you are absent, then I say you apply the same understanding to the other, that you place yourself at their center, you see yourself from there, but now you realize that they also at center are nobody. That all that you are projecting back on them and everyone else around them is projecting back on them doesn't stick. I mean, it just doesn't. It's not that they're being particularly detached or anything, or you are being particularly detached. You are seeing it doesn't stick. And I say that I accept that that's the same for everyone. This, in a way, you could say, is a deepening of empathy. There's the empathy you learn, you exercise as you grow up, of the content of the other person's experience, which is you, what they are seeing, what they are hearing. And now, waking up to not just the content of your experience, but the container, this freedom at your center. I say you accept, you understand that that is the same for the other. You're empathizing with who they are at center. And then, of course, here we get into paradox. Because at center there are no characteristics, no dividing lines, no distinguishing marks. You see, that circle of people standing around you, all seeing you from a different angle, and you add up the composite picture. Add up the picture into one person that you are from every angle, and someone will see you as your aunt or your uncle or your spouse or your child. These are all very different angles, different views of you, which you take into account in order to function. But now you're aware that at center, you are this consciousness with no name, no characteristics, that contains everything. And I accept that you, the listener, are in the same condition. And everyone is. Being aware of this is going to make a difference, isn't it? This is self-consciousness with a small s, small self-consciousness, and big self-consciousness. You could say there's a different language for the different consciousnesses, the big self and the small self. The small self is I'm Richard, and you are whoever you are. And I accept I'm Richard here, because I accept what you say, that I am Richard here, I am a person here, separate. That's one language. I speak that language. I say, I'm Richard, I'm walking down the street, I was born in such a year, I am English. I take on board all of these characteristics. And talking with people in society, that's the language we use. And I talk to others from that point of view. You don't have to preface it by saying, you know, this is my view of you. Say, this is who you are, and this is who I am. But then when you're with others who see who they really are, see that they are not what others say they are at center for themselves, you distinguish, you see, between what others see you to be and what you see you to be. Well, now you need a different language or different words to articulate this, that I'm looking out of a single eye, and so are you. And I am space for the whole world, and so are you. And I'm face to no face with others. I'm not separate, and the same is true for you. And here at center, at my center and at your center, is vast openness full of everything. And communicating about it, I think, is really important. To bring it onto the front burner. To come out of the closet about it. It's just true. At center, you are vast, open awareness, space, full of everything, no dividing line, and so am I, and so is everyone. And I am in you, and you're in me. And the me that you're in here isn't Richard, it's this vast openness. Same for you. I think that this journey, as we grow up, into placing ourselves out there in others and seeing ourselves from there as something here, we shrink, don't we? Originally, we're vast as a baby without knowing it. And what you learn as you grow up, you don't learn that you're vast. You learn that you're tiny and separate, and you're a thing. So in effect, you shrink. You become solidified. Now, when you then look and see that you're not a thing, the contrast is huge. To me, it is striking that I am empty here because I've been so convinced I am a thing here. And I find that it's not as if now I only think of myself as no thing full of everything. I have both points of view. I'm still out there seeing myself here as somebody. But it is so different because I'm aware that from there, you know, seeing myself as Richard, the one looking from over there is the vast emptiness. Waking up to what you are at center changes everything. Changes nothing and changes everything. You see, growing up and empathizing and seeing myself as a thing is to see myself as separate from you who are a thing. That's my understanding as an adult before I see who I am. We're both solid things, separate. Born and will die. But when I wake up to what I am, I wake up to what you are, what we are, at center. Where we are all coming from, which was not born and won't die. That is completely different. And in a sense, I'm talking to myself because your true self is just no different from mine. It's a great mystery. But I mean, your true self at center has no name, age, nationality, gender. Just as I don't. I mean, there's nothing to distinguish us, to separate us. There, at center. But what we are, as seen by others, seen by the one over there, is different. You see me as Richard here, from that nothingness there. And I would say that now you know that I'm nothing here at center. So we have two sides to ourselves in a way. And one side means that we're different, but the other side is no difference. I read recently a Buddhist saying, emptiness equals compassion. Well, I imagine people understand that in lots of different ways. Compassion is suffering with, isn't it? Feeling with. Well, I am empty for the world. And you are empty for the world. Now, when I place myself over there and see myself as you see me, as a person, I am empathizing, I'm placing myself in your shoes. And that's not just seeing me as Richard from your point of view. It is recognizing that you have feelings and thoughts and sensations and a life that is separate from mine, distinguishable from mine. That is opening up compassion, feeling for, understanding, placing yourself in someone else's shoes. I think you could not place yourself over there in someone else's shoes if they really were a solid thing there and you were a solid thing here. How could you do that? How could you get across that gap? How could you enter into someone else's experience? They're a closed shop and you're a closed shop as a thing. But because at center you're no thing and they are no thing at center, really, well, in a sense, you're already there. I mean, there's no nothing in the way of you placing yourself over there at their center and, in a sense, being them. Compassion. Recognizing that as you grow up, you shift center. You learn to shift center. And see yourself from there, where you are a person. You're not a person at center. But you are out at that range, all the way around you. Everyone is seeing you as a person, and they are telling you you are that at your center. That's the thing. And that's how you become self-conscious. And then one day, someone says to you, actually, from here we can see that you're a person there, and we do project that. We say that you are that at center. But actually, really at center, there's no thing full of everything. That's how it happened to me. I didn't just suddenly become aware of it. Someone told me. Someone said to me, Richard, right at your center, you are really no thing full of everything. Look for yourself. You see, take seriously what we say you are. You must do. You must take on board that you're Richard. I mean, not that you could not. That's so deeply ingrained. You are Richard. But now look for yourself. See? Someone who had found, Douglas Harding, who'd found out for himself that at centre he was no thing full of everything. He was not what others told him he was. He looked for himself and saw that he was looking out of open space. He understood that everyone was in the same condition. He empathized. He placed himself at everyone's center and said to himself, well, everyone is in the same condition. Of course, for about 20 years, no one understood what he was talking about. They said, you're mad. Of course I'm a person here. Because we are so deeply ingrained to identify with what others say we are, we don't take the time to look for ourselves. We don't trust our own experience, is one way of looking at it. But then, through some glitch in the matrix, someone says to you, oh, by the way, have a look for yourself. And somehow, in that moment, you actually look. And you see, oh yeah, the center's empty. Where you have all been telling me I'm a thing here, separate, solid, stiff, born and will die. When I look, you're right. Absolutely nothing here, empty for the whole world. Everything is in me. Thank you. Thank you for telling me. I would have missed that. That's rather important. That's my reflection on self-consciousness, empathy, awareness of one's human self and one's divine self that go together in my view. And it's true for everyone. True for everyone. At center, everyone is the one.